139, all the verses. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon and sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. You may be seated. May I have a couple of ushers, please?
Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. You are truly faithful. We thank you. We're so grateful for you that we can count on you day and night. And even when we're not so good, we can count on your mercy and grace. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your faithfulness to your promises that we can give to you and you give back to us. Many blessings, blessings we don't even know about. The protection you give us when we don't know, that the wreck we miss because we got lost. Oh, thank you, Father, for tending to our soul. Thank you for your blood that you poured out for us, that our sins are forgiven. We just worship you, and we worship you with this giving. We give out of a pure heart of love. We will you please receive it with honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. for that?
Sharon had to go to Chicago yet last night unexpectedly. Actually, yesterday morning, her and her oldest daughter went up there. Her youngest daughter is having problems with her husband. He has not been so nice to her in physical ways, mental ways, and everything. So she has finally decided that it's time that she gets out of a volatile situation. So Sharon drove up there for support and hopefully to bring her and her son back down here. I don't know about the son yet, but hopefully everything should be resolved, and they'll be traveling back tomorrow, maybe the next day. I don't know yet. So we just need to have prayer for guidance and understanding God's mercy and grace, and his will be done on that.
And the daughter's name?
Her name is Jennifer, and her son's name is Giuseppe, and the father's name is Jeff.
Jennifer, Jeff, and Giuseppe. 15. Who would like to lift that up to the Lord? I'd like to pray for that situation. You going to pray for it? All right, go. Amen.
You know all the hearts involved. Please keep everyone safe. Please fill their hearts with your love and understanding so that your will can be done.
Amen.
And just, we will honor you and praise you so that we know that it has been. So just thank you for being with all the parties that are concerned. And just, again, please keep them safe.
Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else like to pray for this? Anyone else? Jennifer, Jeff, and Giuseppe. Thank you, Miss Vicki. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Raymond Tosh, how many of you saw Raymond's knee today? It's a mess. It's swolled up probably, I don't know, three times the size of what a normal knee is supposed to be. The kneecap has been severed. It's split two pieces. So... and now it's just a swollen mess. Of course, it's a workers' comp thing because he hurt it on the job. So, Bobby, you know how that workers' comp thing, you're on kind of their schedule. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're just kind of lingering in all this pain and, you know, arthritis sitting up in that thing and just a yucky old mess. So, and then the concern is, you know, this is the second accident he's had for this company within 12 months. Is he going to keep that job? So, you know, he's got, how many mouths he got to feed?
A bunch.
So we need to, as his church, to begin praying for security of his employment, the healing of his knee, and that he can get a good orthopedic to put it back together. I mean, I hope they put it back together, right?
Amen.
I hope they put that thing back together, folks. Amen? Yeah, I mean, if he wants to have use of that leg, right? So who would like to begin lifting Raymond up? You want to pray for that? All right, brother, here you go.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you, just lifting Raymond up to you with this accident he had with his knee. And, Lord, we just ask for your intervention on that, Lord, and put the right people in his path, the right physician, Lord, just to be able to work your miracle in his
yes.
knee, Lord, and through you. And you,
that's right.
You're the one that's gave him all the abilities to do this stuff. And, Lord, and we lift him up to you, just to his whole staff. And we lift him up to you as his job. And, Lord, just to be with that company. And, you know,
yeah.
and they know what dedication he has
yes.
for that company is evidence of his going back to work with his shoulder so quick after he was injured with it, just to get things going, Lord. And, Lord, I ask you, Lord, in your son's holy and precious name to to work with the people at Workman's Comp to get everything settled for him and get everything going in a quick manner to get his situation resolved and get him back healing where he can get back to work and provide for his family.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else want to pray for Raymond? Okay, Brother Gene. Okay, Brother Gene.
Father in heaven, you're so merciful to all of us.
Yes.
You give us so much strength in time of need. We ask you, Lord, to wash over Raymond.
Yes.
That his knee will be healed to your mighty, powerful healing power.
Yes,
that you'll
God,
send the right doctors to him and that he will be able to get back to work soon.
Yes.
That you watch over his family, all his wife and his children. And
that's right.
Let them all not be hungry during this time and go without. That everybody will step up and help them as much as possible, Lord, and that you will watch over them, that their company will know that this was just an accident and
that's right.
treat it as that and not let him be dismissed from his work.
That's right.
So, Lord, just be with them and guide them. For this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. My prayer is that they... if they let him go, that God promotes him to an even better job. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He closes that door. He opens a big door for him. Praises or testimonies tonight? Praises or testimonies? Anybody? Yes, ma'am, in the back. Oh, it's Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. Did you find it? What do you got? Did you get Isaiah 50? Who? Yeah? Did you find it in Isaiah? Isaiah 50, verse 6. Yeah, Isaiah 50, verse 6, a messianic prophecy. Isaiah 50, verse 6, chapter 50, verse 6. Yeah. Oh, amen there, too. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yes. Huh. Right. Oh, hallelujah, yeah. Yeah. You got an extra check?
Hey.
Amen. Good for you, girl. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. What else? Other praises or testimonies? Yes, ma'am. Hey, way to go. Look at you, man. Between keeping it between the ditches and on this side of the green grass, doing good. Amen. All right. Good to see you tonight. Amen. All right. What else? What else? Anything else? Okay, well, let's commence to getting after it. We are in Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, God's Word without any mixture of error, certainly in the original. Revelation chapter 10, we'll begin reading here in verse 1, take it through all the way through verse 11, just to kind of set the context and refresh us from what we were looking at last Sunday night. Amen?
Amen.
All right, if you found that this evening, Revelation 10, beginning in verse 1. All right, here are a few pages turning. Believe it or not, I can still hear that. The Word of God reads in Revelation chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. It says, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head. And his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little biblion, right? A little book, which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. Then the angel, whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land, lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever,
who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, go take the book, the Biblion, that little book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for the reading of your word, Lord, and we pray you give us, Lord, you give us wisdom, discernment, direction as we try to Bible study through it tonight, connect the dots, and Lord, try to glean some application for our own hearts and for our own lives. Lord, certainly this is a Bible study to know some things, to be better equipped with the book of Revelation, but Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would take this truth and apply it to our hearts, and would wash us as your church, and would cleanse us, and would get us ready for this new week that we're embarking on tomorrow morning. Thank you for loving us, Lord, as always. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to get around together as your body of believers and break the word of life open together. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said,
amen.
Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. You remember last time we were talking about the vision John saw, the vision John saw. And we said that John describes another strong angel. And we began to talk about how he describes all this. We said John describes his spectacular attire. And then we applied the attire. And then we said John describes his spectacular appearance. And then we said the angel's spectacular appearance contrasted. We were trying to get you to understand and at least put forth the way I interpret chapter 10, that this is not Jesus. This is actually a strong angel. And remember the argument we made or the reasoning we made, if this was Jesus, then we've got his second coming here, and Jesus' second coming isn't until later, right? And so then how do we jive all that with Scripture? And so this is another strong angel. So the angel's spectacular appearance contrasted with that of the glory of God. God's glory is still greater than what this angel appears to be. Then we talked about how John described the angel's trunk. That's his lower extremities, his feet, his ankles, his legs. And then we said John describes what the angel carries. And we talked about that little book. And we said how that is a miniature representation of the scroll that was handed to Jesus. And Jesus begins to open the scrolls, and that's when the judgments begin to come. It's the title deed to the earth, and Jesus owns it. God the Father has it, and one day it will be handed to the Son to make everything on earth right, to make it all right, to get it back to where it was at the Garden of Eden. Sin's going to be dealt with, and finally done away with. Amen?
Amen?
Leading into that thousand-year millennial reign. Well, we continue on with the vision that John saw, talking about how John describes an unusual act. An unusual act. Look at verse 2 with me. And he had in his hand a little book which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. This unusual act. What is that all about? That the angel put one foot on the sea and put the other foot on the land. It shows, if you look at this in the Greek New Testament, it shows his massive size, the angel's massive size, from the perspective of John's vision, since there are no limitations given describing how big the sea we're talking about and how big the land we're talking about. It just says he put one foot in the sea and he put one foot on the land. He's a really massive, mighty, big angel. Now, this action of the angel demonstrates God's sovereign authority to judge the entire earth. And that has been a theme throughout the book of Revelation. God is sovereign. He's in control. We're on His timetable. He will not be thwarted. You're not going to delay God. He's coming back. There's a rapture of the church around the corner, probably. I don't know. And then, boom, you're going to have the tribulation. It's going to last 7 years. The first half's going to be pretty rough. The second half's going to be worse. And then Jesus is coming back, right? Amen. And He's sovereign. He's in control. That's been a theme. That's what this another strong angel represents one more time, okay? He will judge the entire earth, the sovereign God will. And he'll soon take back from the usurper, Satan, what is rightfully his. What is rightfully his? What you're standing on tonight. What you're sitting on tonight. This is his. Created for him. Created by him. Right? It's Jesus's. It's God the Father's. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26 says, "For the earth is the Lord's, and all it contains." 1 Corinthians 10, 26. The angel's act of putting one foot in the sea and one foot on the land also symbolically anticipates the coming judgments of the seventh trumpet and the seven bowls on the whole earth. All right? So it's another kind of, and we said this is another eye in the storm. This is another little respite for the reader that we're in Revelation chapter 10. Remember we said that? Remember? So it's talking about what's coming. It's just not happening right now. So it's kind of like in the eye of that Category 5 hurricane. You see it all swirling around you, and it's kind of calm and still right here, right now. That's what's going on in Revelation chapter 10. Okay? As John describes an unusual act, and he continues to describe, John describes a lion-like cry. A lion-like cry. Verse 3, "And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars." As when a lion roars. In keeping with his huge size, the angel cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. Now, what does that symbolize? What does that reflect? His loud cry reflects the power, reflects the majesty, reflects the authority of Almighty God, right? Now, I like saying authority of God. I don't know if people like hearing the authority of God, but it doesn't bother me at all saying it, right? I mean, I've read this Bible, been studying it for 25, 26 plus years, and I want to tell you, He's an authoritative God. He really is Lord of my life. I may just want the Savior part, but I'm telling you, if I don't take the Lord part, then I'm really not got the Savior part, right? It's a both and, not an either or. Make sense? Well, it should to the choir here on Sunday night, but I mean, does it make sense? I hope it makes sense. Well, we need to be honest with people about the authority of God and the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. Amen? We need to live like that, that He has authority over us. The Old Testament prophets also connect a loud lion-like roaring voice with judgment. Jeremiah predicted that in Jeremiah 25:30. "Therefore you shall prophesy against them all these words, and you shall say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter His voice from His holy habitation. He will roar mightily against His fold. He will shout like those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth." Now, this does not mean all this roaring like a lion. This does not mean that the voice of the angel was incoherent yelling, right? No, it was intelligible words. He was speaking clearly, but he was speaking with great volume to capture attention and to cause fear. To cause fear. To cause reverence. To cause respect. Now, what the angel actually said is recorded in chapter 10, verse 6, and we'll get to that here in a moment as we think about the second point, right, to chapter 10. The first thing we covered was the vision that John saw, and we just concluded that, and we pick up the second thing, the voices John heard. The voices John heard. First of all, there were voices of mystery. Look at verse 3 with me again. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars, and when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and don't write them. Do not write them. Do you see that? There were voices of mystery. After the angel cried out, an amazing thing happened. The seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. Uttered their voices. Now, what does the Bible say? If the inhabitants won't praise God, the rocks will cry out. Now, this is completely off the wall. I mean, completely off the wall, and you can chunk me out of here for saying it. I think there's going to be some good animals in heaven. I'm just saying, if the rocks can cry out, and the thunder cries out, and them little good dogs, I'm just saying, they got to know something. I mean, haven't you ever looked in their eyes? There's something going on in there. You want to tell me something, don't you? Right? I'm just saying. Y'all help me out. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Oh, you're just an animal lover. I love animals. I'm just saying. There you go. Donkey spoke in the Old Testament. Seven peals of thunder utter their voices. Seven speaks of what? It speaks of completeness. Seven speaks of what? It speaks of finality. Seven speaks of what? It speaks of perfection. Thunder. Thunder is often an announcer of judgment in Scripture. Exodus chapter 9, 23. Exodus 9, 23. Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder, and hail and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 7. I'll get it right in a minute. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. 1 Samuel 7, 10. The word of God reads, now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them so that they were routed before Israel. And then Isaiah chapter 29, verse 6. Isaiah 29, verse 6. From the Lord of hosts you will be punished with thunder, an earthquake and loud noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a consuming fire. So these seven loud, shattering, powerful voices cry out for vengeance and judgment upon the sinful earth. Now, what a contrast from today. Amen? Well, we were talking about grace, and we were talking about the genealogy of Jesus, and we were talking about how over and over again, when you look at the context of each of the individuals represented within that genealogy, you just see what? You see grace poured out upon them. Amen? There's two sides to God. There's the grace love side, and there's the wrath judgment side. And what you want to get, what you want to always hold to, is your salvation, because that salvation gets you that grace, love, mercy side. Those that reject Christ, don't want anything to do with God, turn their nose, go away from Him, go the opposite direction of the way God wants them to go, ultimately they get the wrath. They get the judgment. They get that place called hell. And it really wasn't even designed for them. It was designed for the demonic, Satan himself. Make sense to you? Amen? The thunder was separate from the angel's voice and may have represented the voice of God. The text does not say what the thunder said, but hearing it certainly would have added to the terror of the scene of judgment. The seven peals of thunder did not merely make a loud noise, but communicated information that John was about to write. In obedience to God's commands, John had done what? He had already written much of what he saw in his visions. But before John could record the message of the seven peals of thunder, he heard a voice from heaven saying, essentially, don't write that down. Don't you write that down. Don't do it. Don't write it down. That's where the mystery comes in. Whether the voice was that of the Father, whether the voice was that of Jesus Christ the Son, or whether the voice was of another angel is not revealed. The command, however, clearly originated from the heart and the mind of God. It originated with God, the very one who had commanded John to write in the first place. So the question, what was the reason that John was forbidden to record what he heard? What was the reason? The reason John was forbidden to record the message of the seven peals of thunder is not revealed. We don't know the exact reason. The reason may be that the judgment that the seven peals of thunder uttered is simply too terrifying to be revealed. Too terrifying to be revealed. Are you hearing me tonight? Too terrifying. Any speculation as to the specific content of their message is pointless. Had God wanted it to be known, he would not have forbidden John to write it, and we would be studying it and listening to it right now. But we're not, are we? In the Old Testament, the major prophet Daniel also was forbidden to record certain elements of his visions. Daniel chapter 8, verse 26 says, Daniel 8, 26 says, the vision of the evenings and mornings, which has been told, is true, but keep the vision secret. Keep the vision secret, for it pertains to many days in the future. Maybe it's the same thing that the peals of thunder communicated. Daniel 12:9, he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was forbidden to record certain elements of his vision. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, when Paul was caught up into what I believe was called the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12, 4 says, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. Well, what are you telling me to not preach? I'm telling you, there are some truths that God has chosen not to reveal. There's just some truths that God has chosen not to reveal. The words of the seven peals of thunder fall into that category. They are the only words in the book of Revelation that are sealed. They're the only words. The rest of it is open. The rest of it's recorded. The rest of it's for the church to be prepared. The rest of it is for the lost to take heed. The rest of it is for the world to be on notice that Jesus is coming back. Yeah. Well, we're going to celebrate his birth in just a few months, aren't we? Can you believe it? It's already September, October, November, December, Christmas. What? I mean, it was like last week we did Christmas. What? I mean, the years are starting to fly by like pickets on a white fence. Chicken, chicken, chicken. Right? I mean, they're zooming on by, friend. But I want to tell you, that was his first advent. Sweet little baby. Born in a manger, perfect. Oh, my goodness. Came for this grace we talked about this morning. Oh, friend. There's going to be a day when he comes back. He's going to set things straight. He's going to take back what's rightfully his. And in order to do that, there's going to be judgment on the land. Judgment on the earth. Right? Let's apply the mystery, or let's seek to apply the mystery the best I know how to do. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I don't have the most high-powered brain in the room, I'm sure, but let's attempt to apply the mystery. The reason God puts this sealed communication here is, I think it's simple. Now, I don't want to oversimplify it, because sometimes I think I got it right, and I don't have it right. But it's screaming to me this, that Jesus, God the Father, Holy Spirit, he wants to teach us a very valuable lesson. He wants us to know that there are just some things in life that are going to remain a mystery. That's where faith comes in. It's going to remain a mystery. That's where the faith in God comes in. That's where the faith that we're saved, that's where that comes in. Amen? That's where the Holy Spirit did. It just holds us and keeps us and helps us keep going on. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of His law." I want to tell you, 66 books, whole bunch of chapters, whole bunch of history, eschatology, last days, love literature in here. There's a lot we get. Amen? There's a lot we get to hold to. But there are still thousands of questions in life for which you and I don't have an answer. We don't have an answer. We don't have the answers. Why do good people suffer? Why do babies get sick and sometimes die? Why is there so much evil in our world? Why is living holy so hard? Why does this thing called discipleship take so much work? We'll never have the answer to these and 10,000 other questions this side of heaven. But if you just hold on, if you just stay faithful, stay true to God's Word, and stay true to Jesus Christ, if you just keep on plugging on with God, one day you're going to get all those answers. One day. What are you telling me, Pastor? I'm telling you, we must leave the mysteries with the Lord and trust Him to do right. God's going to do right. He's going to do right by you. He's going to do right by your loved one. He's going to do right by the circumstance. He's going to do right by the situation. God is sovereign. He's going to do what's right. Amen? Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Do you love God tonight? Are you called according to His purpose? Amen? 1 Corinthians 13:12. 1 Corinthians 13:12. "For now we see in a mirror dimly. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known." Man, that makes the hair on the back of my neck. My hair just grew. And it was a momentous event this Friday. I went back to the same haircutting place, and I got a haircut. You said you weren't afraid to get scalped again? I was not afraid. I spoke truth. I said, "I just want a number 2 on the side, and don't touch the top." I thought I'd be 2 months before I got a haircut. It's just 6 weeks. I'm back in there again. Are you talking about just a little hair? I mean, it's just a little hair that got trimmed off, but there was enough for a trim. Amen? Right? "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known." You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying that Jesus knows us fully. He's saying God the Father has the hairs of our little old heads numbered specifically. He knows every detail about us. He put us together. He knitted us in our mother's wombs. He's formed us and breathed life into us. And if we're saved, His Holy Spirit has come inside of us. Not only is He our Creator, but He is our Father. And He's a Father that knows everything about us. What Paul is saying is that one day, looking at Jesus in this Word, looking at Jesus in our prayer life, looking at Jesus as we worship together, it's like looking at a reflection dimly. And we see something there, but it's not crystal clear. We know it's there. Oh, we move a hand and we see a hand move. We stick out a tongue, we see a blur. We wink and we see something going on, but we can't quite make it all out. But one day, we are going to make it all out. Just as we have been all made out to God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, we're going to know them. We're going to know Him. We're going to know Jesus in totality. Amen? In totality. Well, there were voices of mystery. Did we get there? We applied the mystery. We tried to do that. As we continue on this evening and get ready to close it out for the night, there were voices of manifestation. Voices of manifestation. Look at verses 5 through 7 with me, and that'll be about as far as we get. Verses 5 through 7. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. In a solemn act, this somewhat large, big, strong, mighty angel, loud by the way, mighty angel, when he speaks, whom John saw standing on the sea, one foot on the sea, one foot on the land, this massive, strong angel got in the body position, got in the posture for making a solemn vow. He raised his right hand. To take such a vow is to affirm before God that one is going to speak the truth. That vow indicated that what the angel was about to say was of the utmost importance and truthfulness. Don't miss this, John. This is to be written down, John. Don't miss this. The truth of the angelic vow speaks of the origins of the universe. Now, we can look in other places in our New Testament. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you're more than welcome. Acts chapter 14 and Acts chapter 17. Acts 14, 15. Paul made at least two of these declarative vows himself. The first one is found in Acts 14, 15. The Word of God reads, "And saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." And then Paul again in Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 26, he makes another one of these declarative origins of the universe statements. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious," Acts 17, 22, "that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." In both these examples, the Apostle Paul identified God to pagan Gentiles as the source and first cause of the created universe. He thus answered the most compelling question in humanity through the ages. It is the question of origins. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is my purpose here? This identification of God as creator echoes the praise of the 24 elders recorded earlier in chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, 11. "Worthy are you, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." Why are you here? Why are you here tonight? God willed you to be here. Why do you exist? God willed it. You exist. Don't you feel it tonight? Don't you sense it tonight? Isn't the Holy Spirit touching you in the center of who you are and letting you know that you've been put here for His glory and to give honor to Him and to give praise and worship to Him? Isn't that a great privilege and honor and a feeling? Amen? Isn't that an awesome thing? the comprehensive statement that God created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, reveals that the scope of God's creative power is all-encompassing. He is all-encompassing. He made it all. And my poor language, English, I can't express to you the majesty and the power of Almighty God. One day we'll see it together, those that are saved. And you'll look at me and I'll look at you and I'll say, I know. I know. I tried. But there it is. There it is. Amen? So what's the application to all this, Pastor Stephen? The application is this: His purpose for His creation. His purpose for His creation will be fulfilled through judgment. Judgment is coming. Judgment has to come. God judges sin. He's a holy, righteous God. He judges it. He's made a way. He's made a way for us to miss that judgment. Amen. Right? He's made a way. I mean, God's done it all, man. I mean, He's done it all. He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross to shed His blood to cover my sin, your sin, everybody's sin. Right? There's a way to miss the judgment. But His purpose for His creation will be fulfilled through judgment, and then through renovation, and then through destruction, and then through, get this, recreation. Recreation. A new heaven and a new earth. Yeah. The specific content of the angel's oath was that there will no longer be a delay. We said we're talking about another eye in the storm. That eye wall is about to pass by, and it's about to be on again. The judgment that we're talking about here is about to be back at it again. So what is the point of that? Well, we're on God's sovereign timetable. I said that as we began this evening. And the oath that the strong angel makes in that body posture position, with that right hand up and that left hand with that miniature seal in his left hand, that John's going to eat next time in October. John's eating the book, right? He's eating it, right? When that angel does that, that oath answers the question of the martyrs. Look in your Bibles in Revelation 6, verse 10. Revelation 6:10. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" There's no more delay. How long? How long's over? It's coming. And it also answers the prayers of the saints in chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. If you want to turn to that with me. Revelation 8, 3 through 5. And I'm basically done. We'll have a word of prayer after this. Another angel came and stood at the altar, Revelation 8, 3, stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we add our prayers to these prayers of the saints, to these prayers of the persecuted. Lord, we pray that you come quickly. Lord, that you return, that you set the record straight. Lord, we thank you for saving us, and we thank you for saving our loved ones. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of those that are lost around us. We seek to be their witness. We seek to be a testimony in front of them. Lord, may you use us this coming week to sow the seeds of evangelism, to invite to a church, whether this church or another Bible preaching Jesus-loving church. May you use us up. May you use us up in pointing people towards the cross, in pointing people towards the gospel, in pointing people towards Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that somebody pointed us to you. And your convicting Holy Spirit brought us to the point of knowing that we were sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. And your word revealed to us that we needed to confess and repent and ask you to save us, which is not a Baptist word, but a Bible word. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you that we're saved tonight, that we leave here saved tonight. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not saved, I pray that before we turn the lights out and the AC off, that we'll be able to have that discussion about what it means to be saved. Father God, thank you that you're still in the saving business and you're still in the church business. And Lord, as churches struggle, as churches go through it because we're just a bunch of sinners that have come together, Father God, we're thankful. We're so thankful and blessed when it does work, when the gospel ball is forwarded, when the kingdom is grown. Lord, we pray for those churches that are struggling, that are finding themselves in difficult situation, whether financially or with their leadership or with their pastors, Lord. We just pray for them. We lift them up. We thank you for the churches that are in the community that are getting it right and doing it good and bringing glory and honor to your name. We praise you. We thank you for them. We want to partner with them, God, in reaching the lost people of this community, of this part of Harris County and Montgomery County. Lord, help us. Help us be a witness. We love you tonight, Lord. Give us safety. We pray for a blessed week. We pray for a good Bible study Wednesday. And if not, we seek to meet each other in the air one day. We seek to meet each other in the air. We love you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do. Thank you for your word, your truth. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Folks, dismissed. Have a blessed week.